These beasts live on ash. They feed on death. There's no middle ground. Not for them. Not for us.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Underrated Podcast. This is a podcast where we discuss films that are underrated, underappreciated, and ones that have slipped under the radar and passed most people by. We are the Undercast Company, made up of myself, Derek McDuff, as well as my lovely co-hosts, Alan Torres.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
And Ariel Ortiz.
Hello!
Today, we are going to be looking at a 2002 film, Reign of Fire, a post-apocalyptic film where the apocalypse is caused by dragons. The film, directed by Rob Bowman, written by Matt Greenberg, Greg Chabot, and Kevin Petracca. And it stars, of course, Christian Bale and Matthew McConaughey. So this was my pick. I feel like recently I'd been picking a lot of films that were a little bit, you know, highbrow, maybe a little pretentious. I just want to pick a good, just down-to-earth, maybe a little bit dumb, but still fun, just kind of action movie that is not the highest entertainment, but for me, at least, was still a lot of fun. Before I get too much into it, I want to kick it to you guys. What did you guys think about Reign of Fire?
Oh, no, I really thoroughly enjoyed it. I think this is, like, one of the best McConaughey... I think this is my favorite McConaughey outing of all time. Oh, he just played this awesome, like, McConaughey. Just only McConaughey could play kind of character. I really like Christian Bale. We've talked about it on this show before, but my favorite out of the third Terminator movies is the Christian Bale one, and for that reason, it was just kind of like he plays a really good like post apocalyptic leader with this, and I really enjoyed. It's just such a creative story to be a post apocalyptic is dragons, like it's mm-hmm. just. Flat out on the level of post-apocalyptic idea as Doom, with Doom being hell coming and all these hell spawns. I really felt like it's definitely in the last battle in London that this movie lent itself and would be an awesome concept for a video game as well, because the last parts just felt really like a video game. Like it was them like just Dead in Dark Souls or things along that line of fighting this big boss being in their terrain.
Skyrim is funny similar. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, yeah, because Skyrim lends itself to the dragons and stuff like that. But then I also really enjoyed it is an off-the-cuff movie, but it's such an enjoyable movie that it's not gonna be like any highbrow movie critic or darling or anything like that, but it's such an incredibly enjoyable movie. The movie that got recommended to me afterwards, which was like a very perfect like choice, because I felt like it was just along the lines of like the feelings that this movie gave me, was Top Gun Maverick, because this movie and Top Gun Maverick just give me that let's just fucking go kind of mentality of just like, you know, the one of my favorite memes of like is like, I want to go to war, I want a lightsaber, I'm a man. I just like love movies that get me that pumped up and stuff, and this movie just totally like gets you pumped up. It was at its core a simple movie, but didn't like overstay its welcome. It's very much like an hour and about an hour and 40 minutes of a movie.
Yeah.
So very well paced, and I really did enjoy that. Even with that like kind of short time, they like and well pacing, you get the beginning of the whole apocalypse, and I really, even though it did kind of contribute to the end in the story, and him like knowing like, oh, he saw the first dragon, it was the male dragon, like the male dragon like awoke everything and there's only one. I really like that concept as well. But one of the things that I was like, oh, I thought that would play in more, a little bit more, was like how he got like not blind, but like he got his eyes like messed up at the beginning. And I really was like, oh, is this going to be like a, when that happened, I was like, is this going to be like a Riddick situation of him like being able to see like differently or something like that, or like kind of see like how the drag, which was an awesome concept as well, of how the dragons saw. It was very like Predator in
a
way.
That's what I thought too. Yeah,
yeah, but it really played awesome as well, because like it's mainly kind of like, yeah, played into like a Heat signature, and ultimately like Christian Bale's character ended up using that to his advantage because of because he kind of used the Heat like to hide himself to be able to shoot the arrow at the end to kill the male. And yeah, it was just really awesome concept of like, even from like a kind of tying it to biology as well, as like this kind of like, oh yeah, like, you know, this one species, they're mainly female and then they lay eggs and then the male just comes and like spreads, you know, his seed over everything. And I don't know why it hadn't happened like before. Maybe it's just the gestations of you know, dragons. Like, I mean, like I like that they didn't explain, get too deep with it.
Yeah,
but
they
yeah,
give you just enough info for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was just so thoroughly enjoyable.
You know, Had you seen it before? Or?
I hadn't seen it. I've known of it, of course, yeah. But I hadn't seen it before. And yeah, it was just like, even like the whole like Christian Bale and Gerard Butler. I was very surprised to see Gerard Butler here. But,
yeah, Jerry Butts.
Don't say that. That's a weird way to say his name.
Everybody calls him Jerry Butts.
Who? No, nobody.
Yeah.
I've never heard it. Alan, have you heard Jerry Butts, or is this a construct of Derek's imagination?
I've never heard it. I've never heard Jerry Butts.
You guys are in the know. It's not my fault, you guys. I did not come up with that. That is
not
a
man thing. we'll have to look it up. You know, audience out there, just validate if you, whichever
yes, please.
Is right. But we'll see.
Jerry Butts Nation, rise up.
Mm.
It sounds like a letterbox thing, and I bet if I read
like
reviews...
a white person's letterbox. Mm-hmm. I'm just kidding, but yeah, like their like friendship was just so, you get it from the start. It's really, I really enjoyed that. I loved how they it made it so heartbreaking. Like, he's hardly in the movie, but like once when he dies, it's such a heartbreaking moment, and then. Which that just impressed me a lot with the relationships in this movie and these characters. Like, they just like they literally like splash onto the scene, and you just like know exactly, you know, what you're dealing with. I think McConaughey, just being McConaughey, you like know exactly what's when he comes in.
They did do a really good job establishing the relationship too that Jerry Butler and Christian Bale have when they have that scene where they're ripping off Star Wars, and he's like, "Yes, I did that." That's so that you're like, "Okay, I know everything I need to know about these guys. We're good."
Yeah. Oh yeah, like yeah, like they were like, and then that too, like you get just thinking about it now, just like the subtle world building of like you know from the beginning with Christian Bale's character as a kid that he is really smart, because you get that scene of him like essentially like he got into like what you could assume is a prestige school if it needs like a scholarship or something like that. So you know that he's smart, kind of thing. Like, so I really liked those building blocks in there. There was a few things of like when Matthew McConaughey's crew came in and then like Gerard Butler's like, oh, they're Americans. And I'm like, how could they have known? And then Matthew McConaughey
had a patch.
No, that's the thing. He comes out fully and he has a big ass patch and stuff. And I'm like, oh, okay, all right.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I said, the way that McConaughey went out is like, I was in that moment. I was like, this is my favorite McConaughey portrayal. Like, this is the most McConaughey that McConaughey could get. He's like full of wisdom. Because he just has all these like very deep thoughts and stuff like that. He is very suave with, but respectful to women around him. You know, specifically Alex. Like you get the sense like he has the highest regard for her, and he's not condescending to her. And he like literally like flat out says like, "I trust her with my life," kind of thing. And then like with the whole with the flask. First off, at the end, he pulls out the flask out of nowhere, and I was like, that's so McConaughey. But then for the flask to be filled with water is just, like, it just adds on and adds on until that final moment where he, like, you know, just charges at this dragon with the freaking with Viking tattoos and a Viking battle axe and just goes charging in just the way that you would expect Matthew McConaughey to charge at an actual dragon, you know, kind of thing. And it's just beauty, you know. This I just love this movie, and it's really awesome. Like it's just an awesome, like, just badass movie that should be turned into a game for sure. And nice. yeah
Alan, how about you?
Well, I finally finished it. I have been trying to watch this movie for like 2 decades, and I always fall asleep. I don't know why. It's like a really good action movie, but for some reason, it just puts me out. It always makes me go to sleep. Not because it's boring or anything, but for some reason, there's like this weird, like, sweat knocked out.
Yeah, I think you just, like, with action movies, you just have a calming, you just get a calming sense about you.
Yeah.
I think this has happened like at a few action movies that we've watched in theaters. Like, you're like, yes, like you like kind of like get sleepy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. Yeah. And this time I actually did get sleepy again with this one. But I was like, no, stay awake. And then I almost fell asleep after. But no, I dug it. I dug it. It's for sure. I don't know. Did we mention it on this podcast or did we mention it when we were guests on another one? But I remember we made a unofficial kind of tag for it, I guess, and this would be like an FX movie for sure. Like,
right,
you know, totally, you know, FX type of movie. You would
I'm pretty
see,
sure this like, was on FX a shit time back in the day.
Probably. Oh yeah, because I remember renting it, and then I'm pretty sure I tried watching it again on FX or something and I fell asleep again. But anyways, it's definitely a fun movie, entertaining for sure. I for the longest time, yeah, I always felt like this was kind of an underrated movie. And it's pretty unique, too, because instead of, you know, years after the movie came out, we started getting, like, a fuck ton of apocalypse films, post-apocalyptic films, which 80% of them were, like, zombies.
And star Gerard Butler. Or star Gerard
Butler. Or the world was going to die, or something was happening. Like, something was always like, oh, the world's going to die. But, it's cool that instead this time it's dragons. Like, dragons are the reason we're living in this world, or they're living in this world. And yeah, it you know, like Ariel said, it hit a lot of things. It did a good job of like building its world and, you know, building the characters up so you understand the relationship and everything. Like, it's just a solid film and entertaining as hell. And it's dragons. You don't see dragons as much. You know, dragons are always kind of usually used as like a just a quick little, like, you know, monster to fight for a little bit, or, you know, it's the final boss or something. But it's very not commonly used. I know, you know, we just got Dungeons and Dragons came out not recently. Did it have any dragons in it? I haven't seen it.
Two dragons.
There you go. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure, were they like the final boss or were they like the whole?
It looks like in the middle of it. And then I guess stone one at the end, but
essentially one that destroyed a battlefield, and then the other one that was like hoarding treasure, kind of thing.
One was chunky and it was great, but
I still need to see it. It looks like a lot of fun.
It's really great.
But yeah, this one though, yeah, like I said, like it's kind of cool that like dragons were like in the forefront. And it's funny that Ariel, you said you got Top Gun Maverick as a suggestion.
Yeah.
Mine was Dragonheart, which I was obsessed with.
That was mine too, yeah.
Yeah.
I was obsessed with it as a kid. And I was like, damn, that's pretty funny. But I still wonder if that one, that film's like graphics and CGI hold up, because
it's a little rough. It's a little rough.
As well as this one. This one like had really good graphics, even today standards.
This one it held up pretty well. I liked I liked the dead dragon practical effects that they had, which was pretty awesome. So yeah, I mean, solid film and yeah, intense performance by Matthew McConaughey. You know, even back then, I think I really liked him. He was like one of my favorite characters of the film. I mean, honestly, all three, you know, the main dudes were all great. Yeah, I think the only other performance by Matthew McConaughey that's like is intense and wild would be, I think it's Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3, where he's just fucking bonkers. I've only seen parts of it. I think it was like on HBO or something long, long, long time ago. Mm-hmm. And I just like jump in and I'm like, what the fuck? Is that Matthew McConaughey? And he's just balls to the wall, bonkers. Like, this one was more of a calm, like intense Matthew McConaughey. Like, I would like to see those two versions fight it out. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be hilarious.
Yeah.
What about you, Derek?
Yeah, no, obviously, I love this film. I think it's such a... It's just like a great concept for a movie. It's like, you know, all the time you see movies, you're like, wow, that's such a cool concept for a movie, and they didn't deliver. But this time, they totally did. Like, it's so simple. It's just like, it's such a brilliant idea. Like, there's a post-apocalypse. What caused it? Dragons. So you take this fantasy trope, and you put it into a grungy kind of sci-fi, like, low sci-fi, light sci-fi setting. And they run with it. It's like you said, it's a clean, like little over 100 minutes or so. And it just kind of hits all of the beats with giving you everything you need to know, doing some really cool world building, just kind of explaining. They do that montage at the beginning, like, hey, this is how it happened. Just give you all the facts very quickly. You get a little bit of info, just stuff about, like, remember the Rogue Marine? Like, just enough info to like be like, all right, this world makes sense. But we're not like getting way too deep into the mythology, but it does all that really well. It also builds everything very, very well. I you kind of forget, like, what, when I went back and watched this, I was like, oh, McConaughey doesn't come into this movie for a minute. Like, he doesn't show up to like the 30-minute mark. Like, he's not even in the first act at all. It's kind of just there establishing the setting and then the castle that they live in, which is really cool. Once again, fantasy setting supplanted into a sci-fi world. Really cool the way they kind of do that. And, you know, you're getting to know all of these different characters and building up the stakes that, like, dragons are dangerous. And then you have these really tough characters come in, led by this almost 80s-style action hero kind of performance from McConaughey. He's just this really, like... McConaughey is just more ripped than you ever seen him. Like, he's got the shaved head. He's chomping a cigar like he's Arnold fucking Schwarzenegger. And he just comes in, and you're like, oh, these guys are, like, the most badass guys ever. And you see them take on a dragon. You see, like, how hard it is. And then, you know, you have everyone celebrating. And they're like, cool. And he's like, we lost two people. This is never going to be. And so it establishes, like, how dangerous just a dragon are. And you can beat them. It gives you, like... The hope, like, yeah, these kids can be beaten, but there's stakes. And then the end of the movie, you go into really being like, okay, there is a way to defeat all of the dragons, theoretically, but now it's just the three of us because the rest got taken out, and it's by this big eye. I that scene where, like, by the way, brilliant to, just like Nope does, to be like, oh, we have to do this at magic hour, because that's why I think it holds up so well, is because... Everything is kind of dark. It's kind of like fuzzy. It's not in bright daylight like the Sean Connery dragon. It's the same reason Alien works, is because everything's in the shadows. That's why, even though it's 2002 graphics, it holds up really well. But it sets the stakes perfectly for the final showdown, the final battle with the big dragon. And you see him just silhouetted against the sky, how huge he looks to all the tiny, like, we just saw this huge dragon. That thing is tiny compared to the dragon they're going to have to kill now. And the way they use, like, all the physical geography in that last fight is so perfect and so interesting. Like you said, Ariel, it's really cool the way they use the biology, not just for, like, explaining how dragons came back, but how they shoot fire. They do it like it's like a scientific thing. That's like they make napalm, essentially, with their mouth by combining these two chemicals in their breath. I thought that was really smart. And then you mentioned it, Ariel, but I love the moment McConaughey is jumping through the air like fucking Gimli with his axe. I remember the first time I saw it, I was like, oh, is this how they're going to end it? This is so cliched and cheesy. But then it's just like, no, chomp. It just straight up eats him out of the air. And like, oh, shit. You're like, that is so great. Because they are just taking, they're giving you this trope and they're subverting it. And I think that's what the movie does very well, is that they give you this character that is a more kind of sensitive, down-to-earth leader character, somebody that we would see in an action movie today. And then about a third of the way through, they introduce this more traditional, gung-ho, 80s-style, ripped action dude, and kind of have them butt heads throughout all the second act. And then in the third act, you show that this old-style action hero, his method of jumping at it with an axe does not work. And the smart thinking hero, he has to outsmart it, just like in Predator. You're not going to be able to beat this thing physically. You're going to have to outthink it. And that's really where our action heroes have gone. If you like do a through line from like the action heroes of the 80s, the Rambos, like all that stuff, to the action heroes now, your John Wicks and everything, you've really seen a transformation. And this coming out in 2002 is right at that transition point. And to give us like both of those heroes and have their kind of philosophies go up against each other, I think is very fascinating and very reminiscent of like this time period. And unfortunately, I don't think that you could, like, there's still stuff like this that comes out, like 65 comes to mind, where it's just like a high concept action movie with some names and not tied to any IP, but they're becoming rarer and rarer. So it's really cool to see something like this that might not have gotten made today.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I agree. I feel like nowadays it's kind of tough. But you know what? I can see this being made into like a series, like rebooted into like a cool little series. They can expand on the lore and they can expand on like the biology and everything and the dragons. I can totally see this being spun into that, which I'm very surprised it hasn't yet. Yeah, because I don't every time because I don't know many people who've seen it, but the people that are like, you know, when it got brought up or anything, people usually go, oh, they're always very fond of the film. So I totally see this being rocked. Reboot film wise, I feel like it might be a hard sell nowadays. I think right now we're still in the superhero kind of IP driven, previously known IP driven kind of cinema.
I think it's just there's just like a burnout of post-apocalyptic movies. That's in general true. Specifically yeah. Because of the whole pandemic
all the
as well
movies.
Pandemic overall yeah. Like I think like a
yeah, I think now we're like you guys were saying, like in a much more franchise driven era, whereas like the early 2000s felt like a very concept driven era where somebody would be like, oh, here's a concept I have, it's X meets Y, or it's like, you know, there was like Die Hard on a whatever, like they kept making Die Hard on a bus, Die Hard on a ship, you know, Die Hard in a whatever. And that has been cut as far as action movies go, that was very dominant for about 10 to 20 years, and I feel like that has really been replaced by what property do we own that we could make an action movie out of. So it's just a entirely different landscape now, and we did lose something, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, it. I think just overall having these just out of nowhere kind of action movies are something that would don't oversaturate the market, but just have them happen every so often would be kind of cool. Just because, and not like with the budget to behind it, you know, like because I know these movies still exist that but they're like, you know, very low budget, you know, direct to DVD kind of movies and stuff or streaming, but yeah, just these kind of like just well quality like action movies that are it's a really cool concept to have like fantasy and modern day kind of things mixed together and it's a pretty cool concept overall, and I think it's something that should be played around with a lot more than it has been.
Yeah, and you guys know that I absolutely love when genre conventions get combined like this. So I think, and they did a really good job with balancing the you know having the aesthetics of a fantasy thing, but putting it in this more gritty, like the road kind of world, and just I love the drag with like the tattered wings and everything. It was so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it still exists kind of, I would say, more so in the kids, young adults element. I know that like Disney has a high fantasy but modern age kind of like stories that are television series on Disney Plus that lends into that as well with that high fantasy. Also, the Spiderwick Chronicles is getting a remake with a series coming out as well, and that's very much like a high fantasy but like in actual reality kind of like thing. But yeah, like it definitely could be done more so in an adult era, and like I think maybe hopefully like the embrace of like Dungeons and Dragons movie and things like that might lend itself. Even like if they were to redo like Doom but in the right way kind of thing, it which I think they might be.
Yeah.
We're
in a renaissance of good video game movies too, you know, and adaptations.
Yeah, more so like adaptation television, like adaptations. Yeah. It would be really awesome if this movie became a series for sure.
I'd watch it.
Just delving more into like that history and stuff, or like, you know, like I think a director writer that could pull this off and has like kind of pulled off this kind of thing in recent history would be like Bong Joon-ho. Would be a really good like writer director to do like a movie kind of like this. That's kind of or Guillermo del Toro as well. Well, like they're, you know, they're two sides of the same coin in my opinion. And to do this high fantasy but like modern day kind of thing, like you kind of get that sense with like Bong Joon-ho's movies of like Ojai and Snowpiercer in a way. And so I think that him or Guillermo del Toro might be able to kind of like pull out a movie that would be in line with this movie that it was.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I still need to say Yokja. But yeah, I know, before we wrap up, guys, you know, because I think we all did really enjoy this. Like, any final thoughts on Reign of Fire?
Just an enjoyable movie that it's like, you know, if you want to like feel pumped up and like just have a good time with the movie, definitely a recommended movie to watch.
Yeah,
I mean, definitely. Yeah, it's a fun movie, entertaining. Also a good movie if you're doing chores or something, you just want to have something in the background. I feel like it's one of those, like, you can just have it on and you can enjoy it. You know, it's entertaining. It gets the job done. And yeah, totally fun. And like to see more movies like this, more dragon centered.
Films, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I think coming out in 2002, like I already touched on how it really utilized the kind of lighting and everything to make the dragons look good, so that it hides maybe some of the imperfections and of CG that we would always see. But it also uses a lot of practical stuff in this. Like when Christian Bale is checking out that dragon, it's just like all gnarled and its wing is broken and he gets the egg and it's all there and real. I was just like, I just had this moment where it's like, it's so good to fucking see something like this, because you would never see like a real dragon like this, or you might, but like not often, where it's just like, it looked so good. And the fact that they created this dragon for like what was like not a very long scene, it was like Jurassic Park or something, where it's like, oh, it's so cool that they were still doing this at the time. So yeah, I really dug that. I really dug the movie overall. And the other thing I want to say is, just a question, do you guys know when this movie is set?
Is it kind of, well, I'm trying to think of like, yeah, I think it has to be like kind of modern day. If we're kind of like going with like
well, I'll tell you the year, because it starts in the year it came out, which is 2002, but then it jumps ahead 18 years to 2020. Yeah, 2020. So this seems like a better apocalypse than the one we actually got in 2020. I'll just say that. Of course, this movie was set in 2020, because why wouldn't it be?
Well, really, I was kind of hoping that it would be kind of like starting, like when he was a kid, it was like maybe the early 90s, just so it could like be a little bit more believable with like the artillery unless like the dragons, which if they seem, especially the male dragon, seems to have a high intelligence, unless like they like just flat out just attack the artillery, then it would be a little bit more believable. I think it was just like, that was the only like far-fetched thing, and it made it a little bit more believable if like the whole like first appearance of the dragons like happened in the 90s, because then it's like, okay, we don't have like the, just me being like, you know, the military slight historian that I am, especially when it comes to aircrafts and airplanes, I was like, we would have stuff to, especially in like the early 2000s, like we would have stuff to take down this things.
See, that's
things.
What I kind of like. Yeah. It's implied that it was kind of more people and their reactions to it that like ended up ending the world, even as much as or more so than the dragons. Like when they talk about the rogue marines and how they blew up half the world and how basically people were nuking stuff. So I thought that was an interesting wrinkle.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things. It's like, you know, I don't know. I don't know if it makes too much of a difference that it would have been said in 2002 or 97, but.
Because at this point, it would have been. Yeah.
You know.
Kind of, sort of, but I mean,
how stupid people are.
You're thinking about it too. It's like a.
You have the F-18s. You have the F-22s. You have the F-22 Raptors. Ariel, it's like, you know, you could.
Like somebody saw this meme, and it was just like Star Wars fans when they first hear about. I'm sorry, when they first hear about 9/11, they're just like, "Well, what, that doesn't make any sense. Why wouldn't they just do that to every building?" You know, like it's just like the thing of like when you apply like movie logic to real life. You know, it's not always going to light up.
But the thing is, you know what? I can see something like this happening where just too many stupid people, too many people just being like, dragons? Nah, I don't believe it.
Yeah, nah, that's the way
it's fine. Send out nothing. And I then could shit's gonna get destroyed.
That's,
you know,
the thing. That's the thing that I could like believe. Mm-hmm. If like it's like they took too long to react. Mm-hmm. The dragons, like, they couldn't scramble.
Yeah, the dragons are just a
enough.
Just a
and
host.
Then the dragons. Well, I mean, the dragons, like, seem to have, like, a very high intelligence. So, like, I would think that, like, see, and then, like, yeah, they track back to the areas. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you send, like, a squadron over, they'll track that back to the aircraft carrier. And then it does, they do have, like, napalm breath, which is a high, a higher explosive, and then you just hit one of those F-22 Raptors and you explode it.
I think like Alan said, look at the way that the world reacted to fucking COVID and, you know, apply that to dragons, and it makes sense. It honestly does.
Look at zombie movies. That always happens. Because, you know, like the only time I think I've ever seen where they try to contain something in fiction with zombies was like Resident Evil. You know, when they nuked the Raccoon City and everything. And even then, something happens. Mm-hmm. Something still gets out of the way. Something escapes, you know. There's people who are like,
I'm
actually
in support
of this. You can't
bring this up to me because, like, I just have too many, like, real life kind of connections to this stuff that it's like, I could just go off of, like, you know, virus are all infinite. Dragons are finite moment things, so I don't want to get into it. I just kind of like
that's not. I was just trying to make a. I was just gonna say, of course, this happened in 2020. You know, when every fucking thing wrong in the world happened, and also, like we randomly covered a lot of movies that came out quote unquote in the future that happened in like 2019 or 2020. Like, I think this is like the third or fourth one. So it's just like a weird trend that's been happening on this show.
It's just 2020 is just like was the round number, you know, kind of thing. So of course,
a solid number. Yeah,
yeah, it's
a
solid
like a
number.
Bunch of stuff like what Tormir of Salvation was like in 2019 and like The Island was in 2019, so I don't know.
Well, that kind of leads into like the dawn of a new like decade kind of thing. Like it's the future, but then we don't want it like as like a decade, but we want it to represent the dawn of a decade. So like, okay, 2019 kind of thing.
Maybe. could be what they're thinking. I'm glad you guys liked it. I was honestly pretty nervous, like, because I was just like, oh yeah, this movie that like a lot of people seem not to like, critics didn't like it. It did not do well with audiences, really bad at the box office, and hasn't really been reclaimed, I feel like, by a lot of communities online. So I'm really glad you guys are on the same page as me, because I always have a blast watching this movie. It's one of those just like sit down and watch a good fun action movie. So thank you guys for watching it and talking about it and joining with me. But yeah, thank you everyone out there for listening. As we were saying at the top, we are the Undercast Company. We do this podcast along with a couple other podcasts. Ariel, why don't you mention your podcast You've Never Seen to the good people?
On You've Never Seen, we discuss movies that are a part of cinematic history or pop culture that either myself or my guests have never seen, and we discuss the movie after mine or their first time watching the movie.
Yep. And I also do another podcast with my friend Damien called Can I Say Something, where it's just kind of a more conversational what have we been watching that week type show. And then I've been guesting on a couple of podcasts recently. Just want to shout out, go check out my guest appearance on, I'm going to be on Real Chums coming up. I'm not sure if that's out by the time this one comes out. I think it may be the day after. And then also check me out on Come and Ride With Me. I've been on a couple bonus episodes of that recently, including one we got to talk about the original Super Mario Brothers movie. So I had a lot of fun with that. But yeah, check us out on all the social medias, Undercast Company. We also have our Patreon, where you can get even more bonus content, including full episodes of stuff that wouldn't make sense to review or talk about here. And check us out. We also have our TikTok now, where we've been doing our episodes of Microdose, where it's just kind of more short review, burst reviews of stuff that's a little bit more recent. We've all done a couple of those recently, and those are a lot of fun. So check us out all the places. Give us a good review here if you would be so kind. 5 stars helps us out getting noticed quite a bit. Until next time, I'll see you guys all another night.
Bye, thanks for being easy.
Take it easy, everybody.